Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello again. Welcome to Wrinkled Not Dead, episode number 92. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell, and you can find us on wrinklednotdead.com, iTunes.
And Spotify. We were added onto Spotify some time ago, which we're kind of proud of, too, because it's a big deal. I went on there. You can do anything. You can listen to anything on there. It's a terrific site.
It's fantastic. And also, we always post our most recent episode on Facebook and Instagram, of course. But if you can listen to it and you like it, would you please share it? That is the best way that we can grow our podcast is through word of mouth.
We've been doing pretty well, though, I have to say. Well, you get to episode number 92, you get a kind of a groove going, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
All right. What we learned this week, hey, follow your own path and don't rely on promises by others, because often those events just don't occur, which
it
is kind
is
of
true.
A little bit of brackets around what our big major topic is here today, right?
I've done this myself. People say, you know what, we're going to do this in the future and we'll collaborate with this or we'll do this or whatever. Until it happens.
It isn't happening.
It's not happening. And so you need to just carve your own path, stay in your own lane, do your own thing. And then if things pop in, then that's an added benefit.
That's true. But, you know, the genius of our whole show was when our largest client for Michael Bell Productions, our company, an advertising company, died. I mean, just there's no way of getting around it. The guy died, and about 90% of our entire income went away.
We have a company, let's just backtrack a bit, called Michael Bell Productions.
Yeah, as I said.
And in that company, we do TV and radio advertising, corporate training, speeches. And we, like Mike said, had a large customer, and he, very fit man.
Yeah.
Only 66 years old.
Yeah.
Had the same client for 25 years.
Close to 25 years.
Yeah. And he died of a heart attack. So we talk in the past about the black swan. The black swan is something you don't even expect coming out of. It just came out of nowhere. So you have to be prepared for everything.
So that was almost 2.5 years ago.
Correct.
I mean, it has been the struggle of our lifetime. We've been married almost 34 years.
Correct.
And we've always worked together. So the last 2.5 years, I have to say, have been without question the most challenging. And that's why we're going into this episode. It's about pivoting. And so the scramble continues, but hey, we have now pivoted. Correct.
And pivoting actually means, we looked it up, to pivot means to significantly change the direction of a product or strategy. Organizations will pivot when an idea is not working or not getting traction.
Okay.
And so the reason we decided to pivot was partially based on Einstein's famous quote on
fabulous.
Insanity.
Yeah.
Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Everybody knows that or has heard that quote.
Yeah.
But until you live it, it's just a quote.
Exactly. And you have a great story.
I do. So, you know, as I just said, 2.5 years of wandering around, hoping about this, praying about that. Maybe this is going to happen. Maybe it will. All that stuff doesn't happen the way you expect. So what do I do? For the first time in, oh my God, 30 years, I guess, we've had our company. 30 years. I got a job.
A full-time job. Clock in?
Yeah, absolutely. Clocking in, clocking out. And it's just the way things have gone. And you know what? I'm kind of, I got a quote. We based this whole show today on some things that we found to lead us into discussion points. But these are quotes by people who have lived this. You can tell. So I want to use this. I'm learning to love the sound of my feet walking away from things not meant for me. It gives you a great feeling of power and purpose, let me tell you that. I mean, though this is difficult, it gives me a sense of self-worth again.
Well, you said when you started your new position, you were scared, obviously.
Yeah.
It's something within your field, but it was not exactly what you were used to doing.
Correct.
And you said the people there are so wonderful, mm-hmm. so nice, so open and giving, mm-hmm. that, Mike, you come back and you're still in training so energized and so happy.
Well, that's true. What I'm doing is massively terrifying to me. And I see there's most, I think I'm the oldest one there. Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm 66 years old. So the younger ones seem to soak up massive amounts of information, just like sponges.
During your training.
Yeah, during this training. Got it. And for me, you know, I keep thinking, my God, am I going to be able to keep up? And yet it's funny because what actually happens is at that moment I'm confused and overwhelmed, but somehow during the night, things fall and click into place. I guess it must be that in my case, in my personality, my subconscious sorts and evaluates all this information and puts it where it kind of needs to be. Like I'm not fully aware of all the aspects of what I'm supposed to be doing. On the other hand, I have the principles down in my head very clearly. The rest of it will come. But boy, is that a big mountain to climb right at first.
It is, but I'll tell you, I admire you for it, because starting a new career, which is what this is, yeah. at the age of 66, and in a different capacity, you know, working for a company rather than having your own company,
yeah.
It's a whole new thing. And yet the fear is there, but also the excitement and the newness of it mm-hmm. has sort of put new air in your sails.
Mm-hmm. Remember when, that's later, it's our little thing that we called Remember When. It's a thing we've got for you, a little tidbit later on. But going back to all the thought of insanity and everything else mm-hmm. and how we were plowing around and all that, remember the guys that we knew who were looking to get an account and kept failing and failing and failing mm-hmm. to get it? And that, to me, that absolutely clarifies the idea of the insanity quote. It was for a cable company. It was an account, that's all. And no matter how hard those guys worked, they kept getting turned away. And,
yeah.
And it was, after a while, it became, to us, a joke, because it was just crazy to think that it's not going to happen. And we learned from that, too. Eventually, we learned from that. Sometimes it isn't going to happen, and you have to get a job.
Exactly. We talk about perseverance and, you know, going ahead and really working hard to get what you want. Yes, that is true. But you also have to know when you need to walk away. Mm-hmm. And there's a quote for this. Sometimes mm-hmm. you have to stop worrying, wondering, mm-hmm. and doubting. Have faith that things will work out, maybe not how you first planned, but how it was meant to be.
Yeah.
And it's not talking about giving up. It's talking about, I've tried this and tried this and tried this. Okay, this door is an opening for me. Mm-hmm. There's a door right next to it. Let's try opening that one and mm-hmm. see what's inside.
Even though that may not have been your first choice, there's a door there. Always there is a door. That's the old axiom, right? When one door closes, another door opens up.
And that's what I think about this new career path you've taken.
Yeah.
Even though we're going to continue to do our podcasts and we're going to continue to serve our wonderful longtime clients that we do advertising for,
yeah.
you have this other opportunity, which is fantastic. And later in life is what we're trying to say. Our listeners, if later in life, you can start all over again. Mike is living proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're young and you're starting and you're afraid, know that once you get through the fear, there's all this wonderful opportunity at the other end. A friend of ours said, I really love your podcast, but sometimes you continually paint this positive picture.
Right.
And it's not always positive out there. I agree. I absolutely agree. There are days that I am so tired and I just don't know how I'm going to continue.
Yeah.
And I get very depressed. But the reason why we have this podcast is we know we all have those feelings.
Right.
But at the end of the day, my friend, Marianne Hawkins.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Oh,
she listens to our podcast at night.
Oh,
and she struggled through the day.
Yeah.
And she says, I know that when I turn that on, number one, Mike, your voice, she loves your voice,
hi,
is going to make her calm.
Hello, Marianne.
And the things that we
She'll
say.
She'll laugh about this.
Exactly. Yeah. And the things that she say is going to set her up for a positive week.
Well, that's
so
nice.
This is what we're trying to bring to you. Not paint an unauthentic picture.
Yeah, a bogus, you know, happy Hal the housewife's pal kind of
thing. We all know it's tough out there, but we are trying to bring you solutions and ideas that will help you through the muck.
But it will take persistence.
Correct.
Okay, so I'm learning this stuff, right? And I'm in a classroom environment. And Jen texted me just before I started up because she knew I was having I had a terrible day the day before. I really did. So I came into the classroom area and all the others was around. And I said, before we start, can I read this to you? Because I bet there's a few of you in this room who are feeling the same as me about being overwhelmed. And it's about persistence. In the beginning, it is going to suck because you suck. But you will get better and you will suck less. And as you keep doing this, you eventually will suck so little that you're actually good. Don't give up. Nathan Akpin said that. And I got a round of applause, I will say, and a lot of laughs. And one of the younger folks said, can we get that on a plaque and put it on the wall? And I thought, yeah, baby, you're right.
So you see, even the young people, when they're learning something new, are overwhelmed. You get scared. And change always happens, but it's scary. But it's always good, too.
It may not feel that way at the beginning, but you're right. It does feel good. It does feel good. When you change a habit, right? Mm-hmm. That's the hardest thing, it seems. You know, we had a definite habit. The way we were living had quite, definite guideposts and markers. Mm-hmm. Now that's all gone away, and we're recreating a new habit and routine. And that, at first, about 30 days, didn't they say, or 21 days, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's 21 days.
21 days. After that, the initial horror is over.
and I mean, it's not horror. It's just, you've been so good at your craft for so long that you haven't really had to learn a lot of new things.
That's true.
And so you were at the top of your game all the time. Now to start sort of at the bottom and work your way up.
That's the horror part.
Is what's scary.
Yeah, it is.
But remember, you were there once before.
We actually, when you really look at it, we've been there many times before. But memory is a very subjective thing.
It is.
You remember the good bits, and you kind of let the ones that weren't so good fade away into oblivion. And that's why we're human, I guess. That's why we continue to be who we are.
I had a hip replacement, and I keep thinking, gosh, I'd rather have a hip replacement than my eye surgery because that hip replacement was so easy.
Oh, my God. And my recollection of that is I never saw anybody go through such a difficult time. I mean, we had to build a bed for you downstairs because you couldn't carry the stairs. I took video of you trying to walk. It looked like this clownish thing with this staggering around. I thought, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. And you forgot about the pain as well. How devastating how uncomfortable it was having this steel rod or whatever it is, titanium, I guess, rod in your leg and this ball joint at the beginning. Now it's 5 years ago.
But that's memory. You see, you forget about how hard it was to get to the top.
Yes.
Now you're going, and you're going to get to the top because you said you are going to be number one person.
I am. That's one thing my brother Ron has taught us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Ron. Hi, Heath. That's my brother and our sister-in-law, wonderful people. And he's driven. I mean, I wish I had his kind of drive. I just don't. I guess you'd call him a type A personality, and I'm like Q or something.
No. You just have a different way of getting there than he does.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I'll get to the end the same way. It's like the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah. Hey, tell the story about your mom who went, this is really good. You're going to love this, you guys.
Yeah, and it starts from this quote, because this quote really says my mom. Start where you are. Use what you have and just do what you can. Arthur Ashe, the famous tennis player.
Probably the most successful tennis player of all time. You know what? I'm going to read that again for you because I think it's probably the cornerstone of this whole darn show, don't you think?
Yeah.
Start where you are, use what you have, and just do what you can. Now, what did she do?
Well, my father had a stroke, and earlier listeners will know this story.
That's true.
At 57 years old, he was an aeronautical engineer. He was at the height of his career, and he had a massive stroke. He was, from that point on, paralyzed both mentally and physically. And my mother, who was a homemaker and took care of three kids, I had just started drama school, college in England, and she had two other kids, had to go back to where she started as a seamstress. And that means going to a store and hem people's pants, and, you know, take in dresses and, you know, make them fit.
So from folks who were fairly affluent.
Correct.
Nice
comfortable.
House.
Yes.
Comfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it was all gone. And she actually had never driven.
A car?
No. And yeah, this is back in the 70s because she was originally from England, and in England
nobody
you use public transport,
of course
you know, like living in New York City kind of thing.
Right on.
And so she had to learn how to drive, but she, and again, this sounds like, well, we walked miles, but she walked to work and back every day. She came back at lunch to give my father lunch and walked back. So she went back and forth, four times. And then she worked all day as a seamstress, which is really, really tough work. Tough work on your eyes, your hands, you know.
Yeah.
And she, my dad was 57, so she would have been 53. And she worked doing that until she was 65. And I said, Mom, were there ever any times when you went to do this job that you thought, why me? Oh, my God, I don't want to do this. I just want to be a homemaker and be there for my kids and, you know, do everything, bake cakes like I love. And she said, at first, for a little while, and then afterwards, it was a godsend. She said, it got me out of the house into a normal environment where I could talk to people and there was laughter. Because when you look after someone who's had a stroke, in my dad's case, he was always irritable. He was so mad that this had happened to him.
Yeah, he was like basically locked up inside of himself.
Exactly, a brilliant man locked up inside himself. And it took a long while for him to kind of get out of that thinking. And so she just said it was like a breath of fresh air with this job. Now, at first, she was scared. She had to go back and start, you know, all over again. But she did it, and it saved her.
Well, that's a hell of a story. I heard you ask her that today.
I did. I wanted to make sure that I had my...
Vera's 95. I think
96.
God, that's right.
Uh-huh.
God, how is that even possible? And she's sharp as a tack.
She sure is. And I wanted to make sure that what I tell you is always the truth and, you know, everything as I know it and not embellish on anything. And that's exactly what she said.
Amazing. It is amazing to me. Actually, Vera's had, you know, such a tough life. It's hard for me to conceive how her attitude is still this way now.
Well, there were two people you said that gave you sort of the mental strength to go out and start a whole new career. And that was our neighbor, Lorenzo.
Yeah, yeah.
Lorenzo. And my mother.
Yeah. The calmness and the gentility of our neighbor, Lorenzo, and how he's absolutely in the moment, wherever he is, and it doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter. He could be working at the airport shining shoes, and he'd be the happiest guy in the world. He is so without ego. It's an amazing thing. And he was inspirational, and so is your mom.
Yeah, so if you find yourself in the position where, you know, you've tried a bunch of things that you thought would work, and they're not working, and a great opportunity like Mike just got is working for a family business and a wonderful business comes up, and you're afraid, just take it. Because as you work through it, there is going to be marvelous things that come out of it. And certainly for us, a sense of security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get a paycheck.
A regular paycheck.
Oh, which we haven't had in 30 years.
30 years. When you own your own business, you know, sometimes you get paid,
yeah,
sometimes
you guys
you
out
don't.
There, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and not just even that. Everything that you're learning, just try to put fear on the back burner and know that it just takes a little while until you see the light.
The only thing, I mean, I'm excited about what I'm doing. I really am. I really am. The only thing that is going to be the 21-day break, the routine and change it, is being with you guys as much as I normally am, which is a lot. We're you know, tied at the hip.
Yeah.
Every day we're always together, and now it's just a couple of hours at night after I'm back, and then up in the morning and off I go, and dogs.
But those hours when you come home,
yeah, I've noticed that.
Are so wonderful because he'll tell me all about what went on in the training and what made him nervous.
How exciting.
But then how all of a sudden, you know, you did very well. And and so what we need to do is just condense that whole day down to those few precious hours.
Right.
And well, really enjoy them.
Basically, have you noticed that we've centered that around being having dinner together?
Correct.
So I'm the guy who cooks in our family, right? So I've talked to others who are in the class who are in the same position. They're going, oh my God, my significant other, my wife, my husband, whatever, is going nuts. What am I going to do? You don't have to do anything. Just come back and make something yourself. If you're the cook and you have to be away all those hours, doesn't matter. Make the activity and the relaxing few moments that it takes to make a decent meal, something that's nutritious and not fast food like you ate earlier in the day because you were working. Anyway, so make it happen and make it enjoyable for everybody, including the dogs.
And finally, nothing mm-hmm. in life that's worthwhile comes easy.
Right.
You have to work at it.
Yeah.
But you have to have, like my mom said, the thought that, okay, down the road, it's going to become easier and easier and easier,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be more enjoyable because then I can kind of put my own thing into it.
Right, right.
That's, do you know what I mean?
No, that's and absolutely
so,
right.
So we're just trying to say, don't be discouraged. Of course, you're going to toss and turn and think, oh my God, how am I going to do this? I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too inexperienced.
No, you're not.
Exactly.
No, you're not.
You're not.
Cut that out of your life.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Here's a fun fact.
What a segue. And this was not planned,
see, this
actually.
No. Come on. I am shamelessly
okay.
good at doing this crap.
That was pretty good.
I am good. I come from radio, pal. You were with me. Okay. Fun. Speaking of cutting things out of your life, go ahead.
Okay. This one is yours because you found it so interesting.
I did. You know guys out there uh-huh. who, you know me, I love this kind of horrible trivia stuff, and I hope that it's still appealing to you too. Spring scissors that are loaded, spring loaded, believe it or not, were thought to have been invented about 1500 BC in ancient Egypt. Now, the scissors that we know and love, which are, I mean, probably we have five scissors in our house. Cross-bladed scissors that we know and love were invented by the Romans around 100 AD or BCE, or how you refer to it now that's politically correct.
It's amazing what the Romans invented.
I know.
They were amazing.
The aqueduct.
And wine, right?
We're going to Life of Brian again.
Yeah.
or my favorite movie of all time, The Python's Life of Brian, The Aqueduct.
But when we visited Rome,
oh, God.
They were just amazing.
What if, the roads that still remain in England, if you go around, oh, my God.
Yeah, so scissors, basically, the ones we know were invented by
the Romans in 100 AD.
I have a health minute.
It is an amazing one. You have had some good health minutes, but this one takes the frickin' cake.
It really does. I had this thing on my hand, on the back of my hand, that looked like skin cancer. In fact, I went to the dermatologist right away, and she thought it was squamous, or is it squamous?
I don't know, and I think it might be. You can use either way.
Okay.
Squamous. There's basal cell. The next step up in degree of difficulty is squamous or squamous. Okay.
And then it goes to melanoma.
Yeah, which is
we all know about.
Good.
So she was almost 90% positive. She said this was it. So she took a biopsy, and then she took that little burning thing and laser thing and burned.
Oh, she used the laser on you?
Yeah, and then she burned all the edges
liquid
out.
Nitrogen?
No, she used the laser, and I was smelling all this burning flesh.
God.
Anyways, it left this gigantic scab and scar.
Well, when Jen says gigantic, her hands look like a piano player. She's got these fingers that are like 12 inches long, but her hand isn't really that big. So when she says gigantic, consider it. Let me look.
It's bigger than the size of a dime, or smaller than the size of a dime, but still on your hand.
It's the size of your little finger nail.
Yeah.
That which on your hand is significant.
Yeah, and it's
big.
So we digress.
No, we're talking about your hand, and you were worried about it because it was going
to
be there.
The good news is it came back. She was shocked. It was nothing. It just happened to be a scab on top of a scab, and as you get older and you heal, you just don't kind of heal well. And so, number one, if you see something on your skin, get it checked out, but don't immediately go to, oh, my God, it's melanoma, because even though she thought it was cancer, it was not.
Mm-hmm.
So all these people were telling me about these expensive oils to put on it to help heal it. They're $80 oils and these hand creams that are $35. And I went to a health food store and I got a skin gel.
No, is this on their advice that you bought this? Or
I thought, well, I'm going to get a skin gel and see what aloe vera does. Now, this is not a commercial, I promise you. But I'm looking at it right now. It's 99% certified active aloe with whole leaf aloe vera, and it's a skin gel. And I've been putting it on my hand in the morning and in the evening. I cannot believe it.
It's been a week
now, and it's almost gone. And I've started using it as a moisturizer on my arms and my knees and things. It is amazing. And it was like $3 or $4. It was very, very inexpensive. It doesn't smell great. It just smells like...
Yeah, it smells...
Like aloe.
Yeah, it's... You know what aloe smells like. It has a vaguely... chemically, just a
yeah,
little bit
Yeah, but it's
of,
not as pure.
The scent, I mean, is...
My point is, if you have a scar or you've got a scab or whatever, you've got something that you want to heal, try this out before you spend a lot of money on those $80 creams.
Right. And if you're crazy enough to get a sunburn, which you should not because you should be wearing protection,
correct,
it is the best... Everybody out there knows it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that aloe vera gel is the only way to take that hot, burning... itching horror that comes after getting a sunburn. So use the stuff because it's good. You can also drink it, you know.
I know you can, but I just didn't know it would take away scars.
Well, it's
amazing.
Working like a charm.
Cheap and effective.
And good. So time off. Wow. We haven't had a lot.
No.
So when something occurs to us now, this is very good. This is, for Canadians, you'll know this right away. We have a very large following in Canada. Thank you, because we're dual citizens of the United States and our home country of Canada. Margaret Atwood is a very famous novelist there. And she wrote a novel some years ago, and now it's been adapted for the screen and made into a Netflix. I think it's a Netflix
original. It is
original.
Netflix.
It might be an original.
It is.
Yeah, okay, good. Called Elias Grace. Wow, is it good. For one thing, a lot of movies are produced in Toronto, a lot of movies, but they go there to have the backgrounds that look very similar to New York, but it's cheaper. That's the truth. But this is actually centered in Toronto in 2 centuries ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is wonderful. It's just a wonderful show. It tells you in great detail what it's like to be what they call and still call probably in service,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, you're working as a maid or a butler or somebody in the back rooms of the wealthy. And the relationship between the wealthy and those people in service. And it is a tremendous story with a great moral, but terrific acting. So we love it.
And I believe it's a very short, I think it's a 3-part series.
It is, yeah.
We've only seen 2. But what is really interesting, like Mike said, is to see Toronto when it was first developed.
All muddy and horrible,
yeah.
And just like you would expect from, you know, just like anywhere else at that time, or anything that was just becoming urban. So it's fantastic. And again, the name of it is Elias, spelt like alias, Elias Grace. Okay?
You did it.
What? I remembered when?
No. You were talking about...
What?
How nervous you are and how tired you are, and you're doing a great job.
Oh, thanks. I was grumpy about doing the show.
Well,
because I'm just so...
He's tired.
You know, I'm old.
But look, you see, you were apprehensive and you didn't think you could do a good show. And now we're coming to remember when.
All right, good.
I got a funny one for you guys. Remember when we were kids and all we wanted to do was grow up? Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course
I did. As a kid, I wanted to have a handbag, a checkbook.
Well, I'm sure you paraded around in your mom's shoes and all the other...
Exactly.
You know, quintessentially corny things that young girls do.
We wanted to be in charge.
Yeah.
What the heck were we thinking?
Do you really? Wouldn't you love to be a kid again? Gosh, just looking at the family bills must make you want to run and hide being 11 years old
so
again.
So if you're young, you're a kid, and you're listening to this, which I doubt you are.
Yeah, well.
But if you are,
okay, if you
enjoy
are.
Your youth.
Did your parents make you listen to Wrinkled Not Dead? Are you guys... That's cruel and inhuman punishment.
Live in the moment.
Yeah, live in the moment, kids, that's for sure. Okay, God, I almost hate to wrap the show up. I'm having such a good time.
Oh, yeah, I'd give you that one compliment.
Now I'm feeling good again. Okay. Okay, my quote is that we always, you know, for the first-time listener, we always end with a quote. And typically, folks, you know, don't say, these guys just do quotes. It's not our usual style. If you're a first-time listener, people will know that. We sometimes have guests and stuff, too. Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. And I will change the quote to, life is about recreating yourself.
That's what I was going to say. You're a different person than you were a couple
weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I am.
And don't be afraid of it.
I think I'm shorter.
You certainly have more energy all of a sudden. So there you go.
I'm taking vitamins because I'm going to be in the public and I think, oh my God, I'm a germaphobe. So I love...
When you do what you love, you find the energy to do it.
You do.
So I think this sums up pivoting perfectly. Life is about trusting your feelings, taking chances, finding happiness, learning from the past, and realizing everything changes. If that path that you're on right now, you've really worked hard, you've endured everything, and it's not working, just pivot. Change the path. Because eventually, you'll get to the goal that you want. Because you know what? We're all in this together.